stand together.
Imagine
40 years, don't stand. Do you remember that time? Remember that time when you faced the pastor, yes. And then he asked you to face each other, because that's where you made your commitments to each other. And there was a time when there was silence, which made you hold your breath. And he said, "Is there anyone here who knows of any just cause or legal reason why this couple should not be married?" And in this case, should not renew their vows at this point. So you have to speak now or forever hold your peace. And can you remember where you almost had a heart attack when your heart started racing and you held your breath? And then the pastor would have said, "We can now continue." And you went, "Now we're okay." Okay. So we are gathered here on this special day to witness the love that Mike and Rosie have for each other. Their love has continued to grow ever since their eyes met and the day they fell in love. Today they will renew their vows as a sign of their everlasting love that they have for each other. When you fall in love with someone special, the love continues to grow and becomes a commitment and a bond and a covenant between two people. So may this day be a reminder to us all that marriage is a precious gift given by God and is an important act of commitment between two people. Mike and Rosie, you are both children of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and he has brought you together to love him and to serve him, and he will continue as he promised to walk beside you for the rest of your lives. So we come to the commitment and the renewal of your vows. Mike, will you continue to love Rosie, to honour and respect her, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish both now and for as long as you both shall live?
Of course.
You got to say, "I will."
I will.
It's that heart-beating moment, isn't it, when you hold your breath. Rosie, will you continue to love Mike, to honour and respect him, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish both now and for as long as you both shall live?
Well, as he hesitated, do I just say no?
It'd be an opportunity.
I will.
But you will, Perky, well done. Right, what about your rings? Okay. Let us first of all pray a prayer on the rings. Heavenly Father, as these rings were given all those years ago, as Father, the blessing has been given onto these rings, we place that blessing once more from you. We thank you that it's a band of gold that represents marriage, that shows that they belong to each other. Father, will you continue to bless this marriage? And Lord, may everyone that sees the rings knows that Mike and Rosie are children of a living God and how much they love each other. Amen. Amen. So first of all, Rosie. Mike, you take the ring for Rosie. And repeat after me. Rosie, I place this ring on your finger. Repeat after me. Rosie, I place this ring. I don't think he wants to. I'm not sure.
It's his idea.
He's concentrating on the ring. Okay, repeat after me. Rosie, I place this ring on your finger.
Rosie, I place this ring on your finger.
As a sign of our marriage.
As a sign of our marriage.
And as a reminder of all those years that we've spent together.
As a reminder of all those years we have spent together.
And of my continued love for you.
And my continued love for you.
Place it on.
Can't get it on.
Okay. Rosie, you take this ring. Rosie, repeat after me. Mike, I place this ring on your finger.
Mike, I place this ring on your finger.
As a sign of our marriage.
As a sign of our marriage.
And as a reminder of all the years we have spent together.
And of a reminder of all the years we have spent together.
And of my continued love for you.
And of my continued love for you.
See how things change and how times change. And when the reverend or the pastor, whoever it was that conducted the service, said, "You know, by the power and authority invested in me, I now pronounce you husband and wife." And he said these words, "You may now kiss your bride, Mike." So we're going to say again, "Mike, you may kiss your bride." I give to you, ladies and gentlemen, once more, Mr. and Mrs. Kemp. Just before you go, Rose, let me give you both a blessing. May the Lord bless you both and keep with you. If you'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's the it's a reading that speaks about love. And it is said many times at wedding ceremonies. And being as this is a renewal of wedding ceremony, it's very appropriate to read these words today. We're going to start from verse 4. So it's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. It says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude, and it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Verse 8 says, love never fails. Amen. May God bless his word to us this morning. I've got a bit of a history lesson for you today. I want to take you back to the 17th century. When the English Civil War was raging. It was between the Cavaliers of King Charles I, who were defending the crown, against the Roundheads of Oliver Cromwell. Now this is a true story. There was a young man who was accused of treason. He didn't have a choice. He was drafted into the Cavaliers, King Charles' army, who was against the Roundheads of Oliver Cromwell. His name was Basil Underwood. He was a Cavalier. A man probably 21 years old, round about that age, and he was engaged to be married to his fiancée, Bessie, who was a village maiden. He got arrested as a spy. Cromwell held the trial because he should have been drafted into Cromwell's army, not King Charles I. So he called him a spy. He said it was treason. Cromwell held the trial himself. The trial was immediate. And he was found guilty and he would face execution at the setting of the sun when the curfew bell of the church would toll. His beautiful fiancée, Bessie, she begged the judges and Cromwell himself to release Basil. And she said, do not carry out the sentence against this young man. He thought he was doing his duty, albeit for an unworthy king. But the judgment stood. It would not be changed. Bessie petitioned the sexton. This was the man who had the authority to ring the bell. He'd done that faithfully for many years. She pleaded with the sexton, please, please do not ring the bell when curfew comes. This man is innocent. But the sexton, he was very determined to carry out his duty and he wouldn't change his mind at all. He said, when the bell rings at curfew, he said, Basil will be hung. Now this had gone on for over 100 years, this curfew, hanging people once the sun had set and the bell had rung. So Bessie, with her options of appeal totally exhausted and the sun was about to go down, she raced up to the belfry tower because time was slipping away. The curfew was about to come. And soon Basil, her beloved, was going to be hung by the neck until he died. She climbed up to this enormous bell, just as the sexton was about to carry out his duties and pull the rope. She wrapped herself around the large clapper. It's the clapper that would hit the sides of the bell, making curfew for the young man to be hung. She wrapped herself around, and with strength from within, she clung on to stop it from ringing. She knew that this could cost her life. She held on firm. The sexton began to pull the rope. The clanger, with Bessie hanging on tightly, was smashing her against the side of the bell from side to side so many times. The sexton kept pulling, wondering what on earth was happening. Why isn't the bell ringing? And he's pulling, and he's pulling, and he's pulling. Bessie's being slung from side to side. She's being beaten and bashed and bruised and bleeding from all her injuries. But she still held on. She was not going to let go for nothing. She didn't want her loved one to die. Suddenly, there was a sound of a horse coming into the courtyard, and it was Cromwell himself. He went straight up to the sexton, and he said, "Why has this man not been hung yet?" And he said, "I don't know what's happening." He said, "Sire, but the bell just is not ringing, no matter how many times I pull the rope." So Cromwell, being the impatient sort of guy that he was, he grabbed the rope, and he said, "I'll do it myself." And he gave it a big tug of strength on this bell. Still, no ringing came. No sound. He then looked across at the people, and as he was addressing them, Bessie unwrapped herself around the bell, the clapper of the bell. She came down the steps, staggered across in front of Cromwell, and pleaded with him once more. She said exactly the same as she said before, "My loved one, Basil, is innocent. It was not his choice. He is not to be hung for treason because he is innocent. He's not a spy." And Cromwell looked at her and, realizing that what she had done, he said this. He said, "Because of the love and the faith displayed by this young woman who had risked her life to save her loved one, I'm going to issue a pardon and Basil will be free." Cromwell said to her, "Go, your loved one lives. Curfew will not ring tonight for the first time in 100 years. Cromwell looked down at her with compassion, and then he told the crowd this. He said, "The love that this woman has shown for her loved one is far greater than any love for another person he'd ever seen before." Cromwell was victorious, winning the decisive battle near Naseby in Northamptonshire in the year 1645. History lesson included with a story of love. Marriage is about love. It's about love for one another. And sometimes we go to extreme depths, don't we, for our loved one. We come back to 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Do you know, I will tell you a little personal story. My wife can keep a record of wrongs. And when we have, not an argument, we have heated discussions, me and my wife. Can I say we used to? We don't anymore. But we used to. She would say, "Oh yeah, but back in you did this, and back in you did that, and I remember when, and I remember when." That's keeping a record of wrongs. And you know, we was in a meeting together, and this was preached, not the story I've told you, but 1 Corinthians. And I said to my wife Glenda, I said, "Let us not keep any more wrongs when we have discussions, heated discussions. Let's not have them anymore." And from that day to this, and I'm talking about probably 20 years, occasionally something slips out, but overall, we adhere to what 1 Corinthians 13 says. That we want to be patient, we want to be kind, we want to consider others more than ourselves. We want our loving relationship to grow and grow. And Rose and Mike, they're celebrating 40 years today. Last weekend, I celebrated 45 years with my wife, which, to be honest, I said, "You need a medal, Rose." My wife surely does need a medal. It's about love. A beautiful story of love. And you know, it can't go without me saying about the love that Jesus had for us when he died on the cross. There's those that believe he was just a man. There's those that believe he was just a prophet. There was those that believed he was the Son of God. And he came to bring love, to bring peace, to bring happiness to people, to help people live a different life, a life that scripture talks about. Because, you know, when you consider others more than yourselves, there's something special in that. When people treat you badly, and I've had that myself, people have treated me badly, in a work situation and in other situations, it's how you react. And I say, Lord, give me the love and the patience and the kindness where I don't react, so that I can consider others more than myself. And you know, that makes us a good people, as a good person. And that's why Jesus came. He came so that we would be able to have peace, love, and compassion for others. And that act of Jesus dying on the cross, when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, is such an important statement, because he was considering everybody else above himself. He was saying, it's not their fault. Forgive them. And the other beautiful thing, and working at Haven's Hospices with so many people that are dying on their last moments, very often I will sit with somebody and help them find faith. And this would be my words to them. I would say, I believe with all my heart that there's a God and there's a heaven and I'm going to be there one day. But you have to make your own mind up. But why not take a chance? Because if God is there when you leave this world, if God is there, you've got everything to gain. If you don't accept and God is there, you gain nothing. You need to accept Jesus into your lives. And I'm so proud to say to you, I've met so many people and led them to faith. Wasn't about going to church for them. Wasn't about reading the Bible or doing anything else. It was simply believing. As the jailer was told by Peter and Silas, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. I had some sad news this morning just before the service. I've been supporting a family at Little Havens. There's a little child under a year of age that has just died. And they don't want me there at the moment because it's very painful to them. But they do want me to visit later on this afternoon. And you know, I've been working with that family and I've been helping them to stay strong. And you know, they said to me only the other day, they wanted me to take the funeral, but they said to me, we want to find a church because we really do want to thank God for the time we've had with our little one, even though it's been a short time. How painful is that? I've cried with them, you know, and I've helped them through as best we can. There's a love from the Lord Jesus. There's things that we don't understand. I've got loads of questions. When I get to heaven, I've got so many. Why? 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 Does it affect my faith? Of course it doesn't. I stay strong in my faith. But I do have questions. And I often say to people, and I'll say to you this morning, it's okay to question. It's okay to have questions in your mind. But don't point the finger of blame. Because like this young man, it wasn't his fault. And it's not God's fault. God has given the earth and people to make their own minds up, their own decisions. We're not robots. He allows us to make our own decisions. And when called upon, God will turn his ear towards us and he will help us in times of need. Today has been a celebration where we've been celebrating his love and singing beautiful songs like we've done. And we've had this lovely time with Mike and Rosie and family here. So I want to close by saying thank you so much for coming today, because it's important. Family is important. And I've chose a poem to read for you. It says, where does love come from? Where does love come from? Where does it start? Does it come from the head or does it come from the heart? Is it seen with our eyes? Is it felt in our arms? Is it something we earn? Is it something found in a charm? Is love a beginning or is it an end? Is it seen in the smile or the hug of a friend? Does love begin on a wedding day? Is it here for a lifetime, or is it here to stay? Does it come when a baby arrives on the scene? Is it captured in a rainbow or a lovely mountain scene? Is it found in the dew of a springtime morn, or in a snowflake glistening on a cold, crispy dawn? But wait, right at the beginning, before time began, God's love was there, and it stretched life's span. This was love's beginning, this was its birth. And God's love came to man when Jesus came to earth. This was love at its purest, this was love at its best. It's the love that goes on loving when put to the test. It's the love that forgives, it's the love that paid the price. It's the love that Jesus showed when he paid the final sacrifice. I can now love my neighbour because Christ's love can flow through me. I am loved and I can go on loving because his love is free. God's love does have a beginning, but it has no end. There's no other love like it, and it's yours, my friend. God loves you and you are so precious to him. Will you walk away and hold on to your sin? Why not turn to him now? Just take hold of his hand, and together with love, we'll reach out to this land. So much in that poem. So many words that we can think about and do. I think the whole of this service is geared around love, isn't it? That's the whole point of today. Every day we meet, whether it's here in this church or other churches, it's about love. It's about love for each other and the love we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, why not take a chance that he's there? Because the day will come when we will leave this world. Our eyes will close and we'll open them before God. Why not take a chance? There's everything to gain, and there's nothing to lose. Thank you.